Das ist der Podcast Ein Nimm Tee mit, dem Podcast für Tee und Genuss von Theke Schwendtner. Schön, dass du da bist.
Kia ora, liebe Community, ein wunderschönes herzlich willkommen zu einer ganz besonderen Podcast-Folge. Und ich habe das Gefühl, dass ich eigentlich fast jede neue Folge in der zweiten Staffel mit Willkommen zu einer besonderen Podcast-Folge einleite. In der letzten Folge hatten wir zum Beispiel einen Podcast aus Japan, also aus dem Ursprung. Wir hatten eine Community-Folge und dieses Mal begrüßen wir wieder einen Gast, damit ich nicht komplett alleine reden muss, sondern es wird auch hier wieder ein schöner Dialog hoffentlich entstehen. Allerdings dieses Mal ganz anders, denn wir haben Besuch aus einem unserer Ursprungsländer, nämlich aus dem ganz, ganz fernen Neuseeland. Zu Besuch gerade in Deutschland ist Sen Kong, das ist unser Ansprechpartner von Zilong Tea Estate und ja, schon seit vielen, vielen Jahren ein ganz, ganz wichtiger Kooperationspartner. Er wird uns jetzt die nächste Zeit, ich weiß gar nicht, wie lang der Podcast heute wird, mal schauen, wie viel Gesprächsbedarf wir haben, wird uns ein bisschen über den Teeanbau in Neuseeland erzählen, über die Geschichte, warum sie der einzige Teegarten auf Neuseeland sind und wie Theke Schwendtner und Zilong überhaupt zusammengefunden haben. Das Ganze wird natürlich in Englisch stattfinden, denn auf Neuseeland gibt es zwar auch deutsche Auswanderer, aber er selber spricht Englisch und für euch ist das erste Mal die Gelegenheit, direkt mit anzuhören, wie das sich so anhört, wenn wir mit unseren Lieferanten ein bisschen schnacken. Also an dieser Stelle ein ganz herzliches Willkommen zu unserer ersten Ursprungsfolge mit einem unserer längsten Lieferanten. Mr. Sen Kong, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much.
guten Tag.
Yes.
So you have come to Germany and you have been here with us for quite a few days already, haven't you?
Yes, I've been in Germany for maybe 2 or 3 days now. A wonderful place.
So what I mean, it's beautiful spring weather at the moment. What are you having in your cup?
I'm drinking some tea. I'm drinking tea.
What kind of tea is it?
The one I'm drinking at the moment, I'm drinking a green tea.
A green tea. Okay. Yes. I've made, specifically for this episode, I've made the newest addition to our assortment, the Zilong Roasted. And I really enjoy this tea. So thank you so much for joining us today for this podcast. Is this the first time you've recorded a podcast?
This is a completely new experience for me. Yes, it is, but... It's a very interesting experience.
Why are you scared?
Well, yeah, yes. It's everything seems a bit foreign at the moment in a different country, so far away from New Zealand, which is pretty much on the bottom of the world, coming and doing all things different in a different time zone and a different season. But yeah, learning a lot of different things and amazing to see the difference in terms of culture and the people.
So speaking of different season, what season? Because you are at the bottom of the southern hemisphere. What is the season right now? Because in Germany, at the moment, we have spring.
So right now in New Zealand, we are nearing into winter. So we're just on the end of autumn. And soon in our winter season, it's starting to get a bit colder. In some parts of New Zealand, we'll start to get some snow. So we're just about to enter that now.
Okay, so and the travel distance from New Zealand is quite long. It takes more than a full day to reach us.
Yes, there's usually one stopover. On the way here, I made a stopover to Singapore. So the first flight was about 11 hours. And then there was a short stopover followed by, I guess it was about 14, 15 hours after that. Quite a distance.
Okay, so you still have jet lag?
Well, yes. I would say the first few days was very challenging just because I think we're about 11 hours difference, 10 or 11 hours, something like that. And just the internal body clock was not enjoying it. It was just, didn't know what was going on. But drinking tea and I guess keeping active, that helped a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if tea is helping or if it's actually doing the opposite with keeping you awake while you're actually trying to sleep.
No, I think it's helping quite a lot, to be honest. It helps give me some mental clarity. It keeps me hydrated. I enjoy it. It doesn't give me any sort of jitters like other beverages. And it really helps.
So we haven't seen each other in person for the past 8 years. So the last time was long before COVID. And frankly speaking, you have not changed a lot. You kind of remain the same person. But we have known each other for much longer than 8 years. So when exactly did we meet for the first time?
Wow. I think I've been with Zilong Tea Estate probably about 14 years. So just a little bit shorter than that, I believe. Daniel, you're the first customer or first person that I actually engage with on the international level. So it's quite a long history that we've had with yourself and with Tigish Vendor.
Which is pretty common in tea, actually. So the most of our suppliers we have known for more than one or two or even three decades. So working in tea, dealing with tea, kind of is a long-term relationship for myself. At least that's what I found within the last 20 years working in tea.
I completely agree. It is everything in tea, especially when you're producing and you're growing it and you're doing it in a completely different region as well, like we are in New Zealand. Everything is new. Everything is actually for the long term. There's no real short-term gain. Any new crop takes a number of years before it can start having any sort of good quality yield. And we believe the same in terms of working with the right people and nurturing the right relationships. So for us, everything is all about the long-term gain, I guess. The relationships are just the most important part for us. And for us, meeting each other in person and doing that quite regularly is a lot better than just the occasional Zoom or phone call here and there.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So on your business card, it states that you're general manager of Zilong Estate. So tell us a little bit about what's your daily life? How would you describe your job at Zilong Tea Estate?
Oh, I would say it's very interesting because what we have at the Zilong Tea Estate is quite, I guess you'd call it a smaller dynamic workforce. It's a great team. So there we produce our tea, all completely certified organic, and we have a farming team, we have a production team, a factory team, but also in addition to that, we have other areas of business. So we welcome people of the world to our doors where they can actually enjoy, a tea tour, visit our retail boutique shop, or visit one of our restaurants, Camellia Restaurant for fine dining, or the tea room for a bit more sophisticated high tea, kind of overlooking the tea terraces. And that's quite amazing. And it's, Zilong Tea Estate has been quite famous or being really well recognized as a bit of a destination, especially across New Zealand. So every day is a little bit different. So some days it might be working in hospitality and some days it might be working in terms of production. We harvest about three times a year, November, January, and March. So usually during those periods, it's all about production, quality, tea leaves, harvesting, all about how we can achieve the best grade of tea possible for any given year.
How many people currently work and operate at Zilong Tea Estate?
So with all the different business units, I would say for full-time, we have about 50 full-time staff. And they're across all the different areas in terms of hospitality, kitchen, and obviously with production farming as well. But if we're in harvest season during the November, January, March periods, we could go anywhere between 80 to 100 employees.
Oh, that's actually quite a lot. So all of your tea involves a lot of hand labor, but we'll get to that later. Maybe you want to start off and tell a little bit about Zilong's history, because the Zilong teas have been with Tigerschwendner for quite a long time, but I'm not pretty sure that everybody knows the history of the estate that started, if I'm correct, at 1997 by Vincent Chen, isn't it?
Yes, just 1 year off. So This was actually, well, Zilong started in 1996. So our founder, Vincent Chen, he lived in New Zealand. He saw into his neighbor's backyard flowering camellia. The Camellia sinensis bush is actually part of the tea family. So if he thought if Camellia sinensis could grow so well here in New Zealand, maybe tea could as well. So from there, as a tea lover, he thought, well, what other place is better than New Zealand to grow really good quality tea? So he brought over 1,500 cuttings from across Asia, and he actually he put them through quarantine period. In New Zealand, we have very, very strict quarantine rules, biosecurity.
So you can't just bring any food or any substance into the country, no?
No. No, you can't bring anything through this. We're very protective of, I guess, our fauna and our native land and our species.
Oh, there's a little side note here that the listeners might not know, that probably some listeners know that at the headquarters in Meckenheim, we have some beehives and we actually harvest honey, and we have beekeeping classes for the staff working in Meckenheim. And I think it was last year, I tried to send you a glass of honey. And after weeks and weeks, it returned back to Germany because customs refused to let this honey enter New Zealand.
That's about right. I'm not surprised by it. But we're very protective about what comes into the country, mainly because it's so far away from the rest of the world, and we've got so many different things across New Zealand that we need to protect. So that means anything that gets coming into the country, it has the potential to cause some of our local, I'll call it wildlife, or our native species, whether it's trees or animals, they're at risk from, I guess, foreign contamination, I guess, yes.
And so is New Zealand consists of the Northern Island and the Southern Island. And I believe you have a population of about 5 million. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we have a population of about 5 million people at the moment. Yeah.
And at any given time, there's probably 2 or 3 million German tourists visiting New Zealand.
Yeah, well, we do get quite a lot of visitors to New Zealand. It's getting well known for its tourism, mainly because they're coming to see all the amazing sights and sounds and the native wildlife, a lot of birds. We have a lot of bushes, bushwalking in terms of native forestry, a lot of lovely beaches, and essentially just nature.
And in terms of agriculture, when I think of New Zealand, I think mostly dairy products like milk and cheese and butter. But apart from that, what's a typical? Of course, the kiwi fruit. Yes, we all know the kiwi fruit. But is there any? What other specialty agricultural produce you have?
Well, New Zealand actually produces quite a lot, so it's well known for its dairy. So dairy is a major economic growth factor for us in general. The Waikato region, which is where Zilong Tea Estate is located in the central North Island of New Zealand, that's otherwise known as what we call the food basket because of the variety of producers across the region. So there's kiwi fruit, the zespri, there's lamb, there's sheep. There's a lot of, I guess, meat in terms of the industry, even, you know, like goat milk and all different sorts of production. So yes, it's known as the food basket. It's where a lot of producers actually accumulate, or it's just a great area to produce food in general.
So was the region of Waikato chosen on purpose, or was it just by accident because Vincent lived nearby?
Well, I would say that it was a little bit of both, right? Because he was at the time he was quite involved in property, and one of the sites that he was working on just happened to be on the outskirts of Hamilton City, which is just where Zilong Tea Estate is. It's about 5-10 minutes drive away from the CBD, and it was a good location because we have hot days, we have cool nights, we have low-lying fog, we have all the perfect conditions that essentially could replicate a high mountain growing environment. Although we're only about 40 meters above sea level, the environment itself was turned out to be perfect for growing tea.
And is the microclimate in New Zealand, because apparently if you go to New Zealand, you can have all four seasons in one day, right? You can start off in like really, really cold with almost snowy and then end up in nice t-shirt, sunny weather in the afternoon.
Yes,
right.
Yes, very much so. There's a saying that New Zealand has pretty much four seasons in one day. So the rate in which it can change from hot to cold is quite radical. So we kind of joke around about that, but it's if you live there and you experience it firsthand, you kind of understand, well, this is a very different place. And it's very true, four seasons in one day.
Is that good or bad for the tea?
Oh, it's actually really good for the tea. So what you don't want to have is the, I guess you would call it a too luxurious environment for the growing conditions of tea, because the tea plants themselves get a bit lazy. They're not producing enough of the nutrients that go to the top tips to get handpicked for tea. And you want to give it just the right opportunity. So a short little window where it's pushing all of its energy towards the top tips. And in that time, that's where all the nutrients are. And if you can get that right, then you've got really good quality tea.
And so you're located in the Southern Hemisphere. So your first flush is actually delayed or before or after, it just depends on where you start from, to the rest of the world.
Yes. New Zealand is known as the country that gets first light. So it's very different. Our seasons are different. So our first flush is around late October, early November. That's the first time we get our harvest.
Oh, and is that something that your customers are looking for? Or is it just that your teas are available all year? Or do you have like a specific first flush sale or something like that?
Well, we have our spring harvest. So that's where we collectively, grade and rate some of the best teas that come from our spring season. We call it our spring tea, not so much a first flush, but it relates to a similar grade of product. It is where a lot of customers that know Zilong tea, they do come and they ask for it specifically. They're the ones that they know good quality tea, and they want to make sure that they can get the freshest ones there. But we do have high quality tea available all year round.
And so the name Zilong, it's, for those who have never thought about it, is obviously a combination of New Zealand and oolong, because as far as I know, oolong was the first type of tea that you produced.
Yes, that's right. And actually quite a lot of people, they're really quite surprised because they don't actually put the two together. Oolong tea is, I guess it's not as well known as the conventional green teas or black teas. But Zilong is New Zealand and oolong put together. And oolong was the first tea that we ever perfected and got right. It's probably, of all the different types of teas, it's probably the most labor intensive. And it's something that we're really proud of. And that's where the name comes from.
Does that have to do with the origins of your founder, Vincent Chen? Did he just prefer oolong tea above the others?
Well, where he came from, which is essentially China, Taiwan, they prize oolongs. So the specific cultivar that we have at our tea estate, it refers to an oolong tea cultivar. So we have a single cultivar. And we use that single cultivar to create the different types of teas. So it expresses a bit of our personality, I guess.
I can imagine that, I mean, as of today, you are the only tea producer in New Zealand. Is that right?
Yes. We're the only commercial tea estate in New Zealand.
So I can imagine when you started with Zilong Tea Estate that the market for tea professionals in New Zealand was actually quite narrow, to put it that way.
Yes, it was very narrow. So actually when I started working with the company, we only had the oolong teas. We only had three of them. We didn't have at the time the variety that we have at the moment. New Zealand is essentially a British colony, so it's very big in terms of the English breakfast, or what we have the equivalent of a New Zealand breakfast, and that's what our country is used to drinking. So that the tea that I was offering to people was very different and very unique. I mean, in oolong tea, which is the top three leaves, and it was all completely, and it is still completely certified organic, so it's completely different there as well. And trying to educate them the difference between a breakfast tea versus a high quality, orthodox style of production, hand-picked top three leaves that can actually be infused more than once and up to eight times. It's quite a challenging, it's quite a journey that's gotten us to where we are today.
And I can imagine that producing tea is nothing that you can just watch a 25-minute documentary on YouTube. It's something that you have to learn and study and do it for many years before you actually perfect it. And I can imagine that in New Zealand, nobody has ever done that before. So where did you get your tea-making experts from?
Yeah, so tea has never been successfully grown in New Zealand before. Everything is pretty much trial and error. It's not so much in terms of essentially trying to copy and paste what happens in one country into another. The growing conditions, the climate, the soil, the tea leaves, they all respond completely differently. So what we had to do is we're not trying to rewrite how to produce or how to, make teas. It's been down around for thousands of years. Essentially, we're trying to bring the best of East and West together in terms of high quality food safety standards, Western innovations and modern technologies together with ancient traditions of tea making. So we still harness the best of both worlds and bring ancient tea processing methods, to the modern society. And we do this through generations of tea masters that come through. So we have tea masters that come through and help us year after year. And we also try to upskill our local workforce in New Zealand as well with now an official New Zealand tea master that we've officially trained.
Oh, that's pretty nice. So I can imagine that being in the Southern Hemisphere, whereas most of the tea producers are in the Northern Hemisphere, it is a perfect timing when the harvest time is over up in the northern parts that you can just, fly in experts from other countries, because during that time of your harvest, or other countries will have a pause, isn't it? So
yes, that's right. So they come, they love it, and they get treated like royalty. Essentially, when they're here in New Zealand, they have their own chefs. They take a lot of pride in terms of what they're trying to do. They get quite creative. Our New Zealand tea master, he was the one that drives them in terms of getting a bit more creative outside of what they're used to creating, which is the oolong tea in terms of specialty production. And that's how we get our green and our black teas.
So as far as I remember, the very first tea that we purchased from you was the pure oolong, and that was long, long time ago. The very first time we added this to our assortment was in our specialty Edmunds selection, and it was like merely, I don't know, maybe 50 kilograms, even 100, I don't know, I'm not sure. It was a tiny, tiny quantity, and we wanted to give it a try. And I remember Vincent Chen personally visiting us to have a look at our company and decide for himself whether or not we would be a suitable partner for his tea, sales.
Yes. From memory, he was the first one that came over with a couple of my colleagues. And it was, I believe it was the Zilong Pure. And it was a smaller amount of tea in terms of production. And yes, Tikish Vena was the business, the company that we wanted to start working with. So it all started from there, and I believe I joined in on the second visit, actually. That was some time ago.
And I remember that after selling the Zilong, we actually just sold it as New Zealand Zilong. And the year after, I believe we added another specialty, which was the Zilong Black. Because as far as I remember, you started off with oolong, then came the black, and last was the green tea.
Yes, that's right. So oolong tea was the first one. We had three different ones at that time. And then it took us quite a number of years to actually develop a new methodology of creating the black teas with our current cultivar. So we actually had black tea for a number of years, but we weren't quite ready to release it yet. And that's, I guess that's a bit of a reflection of the the hard work and commitment that the team actually put into tea production. So it probably took maybe 3 to 4 years of trial and error in production to get the black tea right, to decide this is ready to go to market. And the same applied to our green tea as well. So it's not just a, let's just change some of the processing methods and have a new product out each year. It's a long trial and error process to make sure that it's perfect.
And from a producer point of view, what do you do with the trials that go bad? Do you just give it to the employees for free? Do you just discard it? Like what?
No, I would say a lot of it goes into our R&D area. It does give us a bit to reflect and review on later when we're creating other products. So we still have a lot of those available in stock. And the ones that we don't, we may decide to put it back into the soil for fertilizer.
Oh, so you use the leftover tea as fertilizer. That you make your own organic fertilizer?
Yes. Getting organic fertilizer is actually quite challenging. Getting enough of it is very, very challenging. So what we try to do is try to create our own, in addition to try and bring as much certified organic fertilizer as possible in order to nourish the tea leaves and make sure that we get enough yield from them and high quality for taste.
So as mentioned earlier, I have prepared myself a pot of Zilong roasted, which I'm just going to pour in some more. And it's internally, we had a lot of discussions. So all the listeners may know that it's not only one tea taster working for Tegeschwendner, but it's multiple tea tasters. And each one has their own origin where they take care of. But we certainly taste together and we have opinions and we have conclusions that we make. And for the Zilong roasted, actually, I was overvoted. So Lucas and Jonathan, they actually wanted to have the roasted. I would have preferred it more darker, more chocolatey, but that's okay. Two out of three, they vote. And so we picked this one. So in total, in the regular assortment, we currently have four types of tea. And that is the Zilong Green, Zilong Oolong, Zilong Roasted, which is the roasted version of the Oolong, and Zilong Black. So could you tell me a little bit what's the difference between the two oolongs? Because both actually are oolongs, but what's the twist?
So if we talk specifically about the oolongs, the first one, the Zilong Oolong, that's our aromatic oolong version. And essentially that's the one for, well, it's the one that we recommend to most people that are unfamiliar with an oolong. So it's a good starting point. It goes through 36 hours in terms of processing. The first 24 hours is dedicated to developing the flavor and the aroma only. And the 12 hours following is dedicated purely to shaping, get that perfect pearl-shaped consistency for the top three leaves. Then it goes through a grading and sorting process and also some mild roasting. So the mild roasting process develops some aromas and flavors that are a bit more, it's meant to be a bit more aromatic in terms of the flavors and nuances that you get from it. So you get hints of fruit and flowers. And this is a good start for most people that are new to oolongs. The roasted oolong, it varies because it's highly roasted. So it's quite similar in terms of production, but the higher temperatures and repetitive roasting over long periods of time, that develops more smoky notes to it, more hints of charcoal. So this would be more of your traditional, stronger, full-bodied oolongs that are currently in the market. But it's something quite special about it. It's our name for this is dark, but Tegeschwendner's name for this is roasted. And that's just the reflection in terms of how it was created. It's something quite special to me because I think it has hints of dark chocolate, and quite a mellow kind of sweetness in addition to the smokiness as well, and trying to get that right level of roasting without getting any kind of burnt aromas to come through is quite challenging. So we think that's still something that we can improve on, as you're saying, to try and work with you to create a stronger roasted oolong, but as it stands, it's quite a unique and a special tea for us as well as it is. We also have our green and our black teas. So they vary quite differently to the oolongs because first it's a shape. The processing themselves, they use the exact same leaves, but different cultivar. The green teas and the black teas, they're not shaped into a tight ball, but they have those top three leaves that essentially gets curled and twisted to try and extract that flavor, but they're large whole leaves as well. They take about 24 hours respectively each, so a bit shorter than the oolongs in terms of production. And now the differences between them is an oolong tea is a partially oxidized tea. Green tea is an unoxidized tea, or is as close to the green tea or as the fresh leaf as possible. And black tea is fully oxidized. So if you compare it to like an apple, if you slice an apple in half, as it stands, as you slice it, that's green tea as fresh as possible. And if you let it sit and it starts browning, that's essentially the rate of oxidation or oxidation itself that's actually creating the browning. So it's still really good, but the oxidation creates a different sort of flavor and complexity about it. So that's the main difference, but it's all using the same cultivar. And it makes it quite unique in terms of the flavors that you get from them. So when you drink our green tea and when you drink our black tea, they're not the type of green and the black teas that you would conventionally drink in most places. They have their unique flavors and characteristics that really stand them apart from the rest of the world, especially things like our black tea. You get really mellow, honeyed undertones that come through it, almost caramel notes. A lot of people comment about how sweet and smooth that it is, and you don't need to add any milk or sugar, and we feel that you don't need to add anything there to it. It's everything that you need is just tea, water, and some good time and patience to make the perfect cup. And the same applies to our green, something quite special that's not quite like anything else in the market, and that's unique to us, and that's our cultivar and our tea masters and our team that actually make that happen.
So there's three smells on this planet that I absolutely love and adore. That is the very first flush of Darjeeling, which we airlift into Germany. That is the first sign of spring to me. It has floral notes, it's greenish, and it's lush and springy. Then, of course, there's the freshly packaged Japanese Shincha, which is also airlifted to Germany. And then there's opening the packages of Zilong tea, because you're located in the Southern Hemisphere, your first flush comes in off time for us. But opening a freshly vacuum packaged parcel that you sent to us with a new crop, that is something just magical happening. And I just love that smell. I wish some perfume maker could put this into a perfume bottle, and I would literally buy gallons of that because it's so beautiful. And I think everybody who has tasted your teas for the first time, if they smell the freshly brewed leaves, it's something really etherical, magical about them. So this is quite outstanding. I'm looking forward every year to opening your packages.
Yeah, we think exactly the same thing. During the processing time, the aroma that comes out of the tea factory is unbelievable. And anybody that visits it, you can actually get that aroma to come through wherever you are. It's our version of going into a chocolate factory, something quite special. And as you open those packs, it's really great to get that feedback as well, especially because of how hard the team has worked to make sure that quality of product is delivered to our end customers from start to finish. And it's exactly as we intended. A big thing for us is when we process our teas, we essentially, during the harvest periods, we get them to about 90% completion before we essentially store them in a very strict and temperature controlled setting. So everything is temperature regulated to make sure that the product doesn't change at all. And we only bring small amounts of product out as the tea gets ordered. So we don't have vast amounts of finished product sitting on shelves. And we try to keep it as fresh as possible. So that last 10% is about grading, sorting, lightly toasting it, or roasting it to develop a bit more of the flavors to come through fresh. And that's what we want. When the customers open their bags of tea, they actually get that aroma to come through. And that's really special for us.
Speaking of customers, do you sell most of your tea domestically in New Zealand, or do you export?
Well, it's going up and down over the years, especially since after COVID. But the vast majority of our product is still export. We export quite a lot. We're very proud to be exporting to Germany and exclusively to Tegish Vendor. But we also sell to various places across Asia. We're developing markets in the US. And we're actually moving through quite a lot domestically as well, working with some very high-end hotels and restaurants to get our tea or provide them with the perfect tea service solution. Still majority is offshore, but we're really increasing our usage domestically as well.
So speaking of that exclusive cooperation that we have, I remember some years ago when you visited us and proposed that cooperation that we have and that we're very proud of. What were the challenges that you were facing during the time, and why did you choose us for a cooperation partner?
I remember that visit. I actually did a lot of work to make sure that for that visit, we had a number of different people that we were meeting with. So we were producing very high quality products. We wanted to work with the right brand partners that shared our vision, our ethos in terms of how to get the highest quality product over to the people that would enjoy it the most, people that shared that vision in terms of quality. We're really great people to work with. So we had an extensive list of people to visit and to meet. And sure enough, it was Tegish Vendor were the very first ones, because we've been working with you for quite some time now. And then I went over there with my colleague, and that was our CEO as well. And after our meeting with you, we left out those doors and we said, no, this is enough. We don't want to work with anybody else. Tegish Vendor, they're the brand partners that we've been looking for, and they're the ones that we're going to stick with. So after all that time and effort, I cancelled all the other appointments and apologized to them. And I said, no, we found our exclusive partner. That was quite a moment for us, and it's been quite a journey so far.
And for us as well, it's going both ways. So we're also very, very proud that you've reached out to us for this cooperation. And I think everybody who is working in the Tegish Vendor shops is highly proud to being able to offer you teas, because frankly, I think a lot of Germans want to go to New Zealand at one point or the other in their life, and it's a one of a kind country that not only resembles Lord of the Rings themes and kiwi birds, but it's the farthest place you can go from Germany that is habitable, except for Antarctica. And I mean. Whatever we say in this podcast stays in the podcast, right? And I know from sources that this cooperation was not happily received in general German tea trade. And I know that other companies were actually quite annoyed by this, but this actually gave me the impression that we made the right choice. And we've been very happy ever since. And I remember starting off with the Zilong cooperation. And your teas were prepackaged in those resealable Ziploc bags in 50 grams. And the sales were not really up to our expected quantity. And then we changed something.
Yes. So we started, I guess we've changed a few different ways in terms of how we work with Tegish Vendor. And definitely you're right about, I guess, some of the other wholesalers. They weren't too happy with the exclusive arrangement, but we definitely are. And especially if you, I guess from the last few days being at the Tegish Vendor's annual event, getting the feedback from the store owners, that's something that I really wish that I could take that back with me and showcase it to all of the team back in New Zealand and for all of New Zealanders, because it's actually, it feels so much more accomplished to sell tea in Germany than it is back home. And the recognition that you get for it is quite amazing. But anyway, what we talked about was changing the way in which we offer the tea. So our volume really increased across the tea vendor stores when we started providing them in larger packets for you to, I guess, supply it in a more economical form, but keeping the quality to the highest standard possible.
So I believe that in general, Germany is one of the most eco-conscious consumer countries that we currently have. So for example, people can walk into our stores and have their tea tins refilled to save packaging material. We sell the tea loose leaf out of stainless steel metal tins to save on packaging materials, and also saving that prepackaged resealable foil pack that we had in the past made a huge impact, not only on cost, but also on perception of the people. Because once you fall in love with the Zilong teas, you want to have larger quantities, but what you don't want is ripping out these like 50 gram packages. So this was, I think it was a good starting point, but it really took off once we offered you teas loose leaf. Because after all, it takes a lot of effort to bring your teas from the end of the world all the way to Germany. And when you're speaking of German tea drinkers being, appreciating your products, what is your perception of Germany as a tea nation?
Well, I think understanding the sustainability perspective, it's probably one of the regions in the world or countries in the world that really, you know, they walk the talk. You all, you know, you're not just about talking and I want to be sustainable, I want to make sure that this is recyclable here, or you're actually living it. So making the decision to be able to provide you with a more economical packs and in that kind of format, it's set well for us. And it's not a business model that we would typically entertain with other businesses. We wouldn't offer it. We're always concerned about the quality and making sure that a certain grade or experience is felt by the end customers. And for the most part, when you supply them via this format, it doesn't always turn out as fresh as you'd like it to be. But having visited Tikish Vendor and met with all the team and the people and seen the high quality control standards, we knew that if anybody can do it, it's Tikish Vendor. And sure enough, it is the only place that we know that will deliver the quality that we expect from our product right to the end customer.
So we feel very honored that you mentioned that, and we try our best to sell your product as best as possible to the customers. And I think it's a great honor to have somebody this dedicated to quality. And I visited you a long time ago in New Zealand, and I was impressed by the amount of efforts you put into quality and into maintaining quality, and that your founder is not strictly bound to making the biggest profit possible, but actually making the best tea possible. And that is something that we encounter in many different countries where we trade. So Lucas and I, we had just been to Japan to our manufacturers of Shincha and Japanese organic green tea, and they're pretty much alike. So I think once you reach a certain quality level, most people are dedicated to producing a product that they can be proud of instead of making the most money out of an agricultural produce that they have. And that is something that I think stands out for the tea trade on that quality level that both of us are experiencing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. It's our team, our founder, they're all very, very passionate about what we do. And just being able to share with the world the expertise in terms of tea production just means the world for all of us. And that's what it's really about. It's not about just about the profits or anything like that. There's a lot of hard labor, a lot of stories in every tea that gets made, and it's all about the people. It's about how we can actually improve the industry and make an impact. You know, something that's significant that that future generations can be proud of.
So when we were together at the annual meeting for the Tegeschwendner franchisees and our shop managers, we did some tastings with your Zilong teas. I was just impressed by the perception of the tasting event, because literally everybody who attended that meeting already knew your teas, but still at the end of the day, all pots were empty. And I think that speaks for itself, but I just had a glimpse of your face when I brewed the tea, because I did prepare it in a very German way. So I used a monopot, which can hold 1.5 liters with a big, big filter. And then I made one brew, and then I discarded the tea leaves, and you were shocked. So how would you prepare your own teas if I'm not around?
Well, yeah, I was a bit shocked there. Just, you know, when you're producing the tea and you come from this far to a different part of the world, you know, when I look at the tea now, it's not just a simple tea that you can just enjoy. You know, it has a fantastic flavor and fantastic aroma and everything, but you see it as more than that, right? It's the people behind it. It's the experience and everything, and the decades of hard work and commitment behind it as well, and the high level investment as well, of course. So when I saw it kind of discarded, it was just kind of like, oh, it's I've, you know, you just feel a little bit of pain, because you know that the high quality tea itself, it can be infused, it's meant to be infused multiple times. The green and the blacks, we depending on how you brew them, they can be brewed up to about four times. And our oolongs, we reinfuse. So for us, it's using small amounts and your vessel of choice, and infused up to eight or more times all throughout the day. I guess it all comes to preference. So yeah, it's a different way of brewing for me personally, and also in, you know, with our team and back in New Zealand, we'll be sharing something like a tablespoon of tea in a glass teapot, 650 mils, and we'll be enjoying that all throughout the day, getting as much out of it as we can, getting the full extraction of the tea leaves, so you can actually see the beauty of them fully opening up in those teapots. And everybody has a different preference in terms of brewing tea to water ratio, temperature, and the steeping time as well, and also the type of water that you're using. But for us, I mean, preference is key. Everybody likes it their own special way, but ultimately it's getting about, you know, what you love and how you like to enjoy it.
So, but it sounds like more that the influence of your founder, based in China or Taiwan, is also influencing your style of brewing a lot.
Well, it's hard to say, because some days I'll brew it different ways than others. So some days I like to drink quite a large cup. So then I'll drink and brew it in large teapots and vessels. And other days I like to make sure that I get a higher ratio of tea to water, brew it for shorter periods of time in the traditional sense. And that's how I like to enjoy it, when I can actually sit down and take the time to make a good cup of tea. I try not to stick to the conventional rules of, you know, I need this much water, this temperature, and this much tea to water, and this timing in terms of whether it's a minute infusion or a minute and a half. I prefer to go based on feeling, because when you know how to brew your tea, how you like it, what it looks like when it's infusing and the tea leaves are opening up, you know when it's ready. You know when it's at the point where you're going to enjoy it. So I like to do it based on feeling, as opposed to just the rigid timing.
I have the impression that a good tea you can never spoil. So it's just, it may be a little bit different from day after day, but you cannot prepare it in a wrong way. So the tea itself speaks for itself. But that's like my personal view on it. And I always use Zilong as a perfect example of the amount of personality that goes into the tea making, because as you mentioned earlier, all the variety that you have, starting with green, which is the least processed of all, then going to oolong and roasted and all the way to black. Usually that is found in different origins, but having that in a single producer, let alone a single cultivar of tea, that is unique to a degree that I've never ever experienced elsewhere in the world. So if you look at the tea map on the planet, then you have Japan for the green teas. You also have China for green teas. You have Assam for strong malty black teas. But you will never ever find a producer that is producing green oolong and black at the same quality level from the same bushes. And that is a perfect example of craftsmanship and skill from your manufacturers. And that is something that surprises me year after year. Although I've been in the tea business for more than 20 years, it still brings me to awe when I just imagine that, a skilled tea master is responsible for these totally, completely different styles of tea and all at the same level. So my best regards to your tea maker for achieving this year after year. And we've already talked more than 45 minutes, and I've got the impression that that we barely touched and scratched the surface of this. I could go on for hours, but as a conclusion, is there anything that you would like to say to the German tea drinkers out there listening to this podcast?
Oh, I'm not really too sure. I think we've covered quite a lot, but I will say that it's an absolute privilege for us to be able to share our tea with you and for you all to enjoy it exactly as we intended. I mean, certified organic, grown in New Zealand, crafted with the best of East and West, and working with amazing companies, and especially with Tegish Vendor. We're extremely privileged, and we love every part of the story, and we hope to be involved in the story for a lot longer.
If I may add something to this conclusion, I hope our next meeting will not take 8 years again.
Oh, I hope not.
Sen, thank you so much for joining us here in Germany, taking the time, traveling more than 26 hours from the end of the world all the way to magnificent Meckenheim, where we record this podcast. Actually, for all the listeners, Sen is sitting in an empty office of a co-worker who is working from home today. So thank you so much.
Our privilege to be here.
You'll be hosting some tasting events in some of our stores. By the time this podcast is released, that is over. You are probably safe and sound back home. Thank you so much for the time, for the efforts, and for the most delicious teas from down under.
Thank you for having me.
Das war der Podcast Einen im Tee mit von Theke Schwendtner. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn es dir gefallen hat, abonniere gerne den Podcast auf deiner Lieblingsplattform. Wir freuen uns, wenn du auch in der nächsten Folge wieder mit dabei bist.